Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a think break switch up that feels like a real drum and bass arrangement move, but stays light on CPU in Ableton Live 12. This is one of those techniques that can instantly make a track feel more alive. You take a short break phrase, something with that gritty, syncopated, affionly character, and turn it into a repeatable transition tool, not a random fill, not a messy drum edit, a proper switch up, the kind of thing that lands in the last bar or two before a drop refresh, a halftime turnaround, or a second drop variation, and makes the whole arrangement feel intentional. And that matters in D&B, because arrangement contrast is everything. If every 8 bars feels identical, the tune gets predictable. If every switch up is too heavy, the groove collapses. So the goal here is tension without losing the danceable core. You want the break to talk to the main groove, not fight it. Let's start simple. Drag in a short think style break fragment. 1 or 2 bars is enough. You do not need a full break loop. In fact, keeping the source short is part of what keeps this CPU friendly. Warp it, and if the source is crisp and transient heavy, beats mode is usually the best choice. Complex Pro can sound useful on some material, but it costs more, so only use it if the source really demands it. Now listen carefully. What you're really looking for is the personality of the break, the snare or rim energy, the little ghost movements, any hit that gives the phrase its identity. What to listen for here is whether the break still feels punchy at your project tempo, or whether the transients are starting to smear. If it already feels messy, that's a sign to choose a cleaner section before you do any real work. Once you've got the right phrase, consolidate it so the clip is neat and easy to manage. Then think in terms of function, not just sound. A strong starting shape is to let the first bar establish the break language, let the second bar increase density or invert the emphasis, and then use the last half bar as a pickup into the next section. A really useful workflow trick is to duplicate the clip and give yourself a few quick versions. One bass version, one denser version, one with a fill or pickup ending. That way you're auditioning ideas fast instead of constantly rebuilding the edit. Keep the process moving. Momentum matters. From there, decide whether you want to stay in audio or move into a slicing workflow. If you want the lightest possible setup, manual audio editing is often the cleanest route. You can cut the clip, trim the hits, and keep playback simple. If you want more performance style control, you can slice to a drum rack and play the fragments from pads or a MIDI clip. That can be great, but don't overbuild it. This lesson is about restraint. A good target is a small vocabulary of maybe 5 to 8 useful slices. A main break hit, a ghost hit, a snare variant, a hat tick, a tail fragment, maybe a reverse pickup if it earns its place. That's enough. You are not building a full drum kit. You're building a phrase device. If you do use simpler, keep the envelopes tight. Short attack, short decay, short enough release that the tails don't blur into the next hit. If you stay in the audio editor, do the same kind of work with timing nudges and small fades. Tiny shifts can create more groove than extra processing ever will. Here's the first big choice point. Do you want performance style control, or do you want the lightest, cleanest edit possible? If you go with simpler, you get quick tone changes and re-trigger control. That's useful if the switch up needs to feel playable and reactive. If you stay in audio, you get precision and less CPU load. That's often better for arrangement work, especially in drum and bass where timing is everything. Now let's add attitude without making the session heavy. A very simple chain works beautifully here. Utility, EQ8, saturator. Utility first, just to keep gain under control. EQ8 next, to clear out unnecessary low end and shape the midrange. Then saturator for harmonics and a little extra presence. A practical starting point is to high-pass the switch-up layer somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz if the main sub is carrying the bottom end. If the break sounds boxy, try a small cut around 250 to 400 Hz. If the snare needs to speak more clearly, a gentle lift around 3 to 6 kHz can help. Then use saturator lightly, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive to start. Enough to add grit, not so much that you flatten the life out of it. Here's why this works in D&B. The listener needs to feel the energy shift, but the kick, snare, and bass still have to stay readable. That mid-range grit gives you motion and aggression without stealing the sub lane. In club music, that balances everything. Another good chain is autofilter, drum bus, utility. Use that when the break needs more personality and a more aggressive drum forward feel. Autofilter gives you the opening and closing tension. Drum bus adds punch and some controlled grime. Utility keeps the width from getting out of hand. Just don't overcook the drum bus drive. If the snare loses its sap, you've gone too far. Now place the switch up against the main groove. Don't judge it in isolation. Put it under the kick and snare pattern and listen to how it behaves in the track. The best placements are usually the last bar before a drop, a two-bar bridge between groove variations, or the final bar of a 16-bar phrase, where the arrangement wants a reset. What to listen for now is whether the snare still feels like the anchor. Does the kick still read clearly, or is the break masking the foundation? If the groove starts losing its dance floor confidence, trim back the slices, reduce competing mid-range, and simplify. In DNB, the snare is often the decision point. The switch-up can be wild, but the snare still has to hit like a statement. A strong switch-up usually does one of two things. It answers the main groove with a call-and-response feel, or it destabilizes the groove for a moment and then snaps back in time. If the section is already busy, the call-and-response version is safer. If the track is getting repetitive and needs a jolt, the more destabilized version can be exactly right. To make the transition feel even more convincing, automate a little movement over the last 2 to 4 beats. Open a filter a touch. Push a small amount of extra saturation. Nudge a reverb send on the last ghost hit. Maybe dip the level slightly right before the switch up so the next hit feels bigger by comparison. Keep it subtle. A small ramp in energy often works better than a huge obvious lift. What to listen for here is whether the switch up feels like it's approaching, not just appearing. That sense of approach is what sells the arrangement move. A tiny filter lift on the break's midrange while the bass stays controlled can make the whole thing feel like it's accelerating, even when the tempo never changes. Now check mono compatibility and low-end separation early. This is non-negotiable if the switch-up is going to sit on top of a real drop. Keep the core drum impact centered. If there's any low-end rumble in the break, cut it. Below roughly 150 to 200 Hz, you want things stable and mono. Let the width live in the top-end texture, not in the body of the groove. What to listen for in mono is simple. Does the snare still punch? Do the hats stay present without turning into fizz? Does the break keep its identity, or does it hollow out? If it disappears in mono, the stereo image is doing too much of the work. Once the rhythm is working, commit it to audio. That's a big move, but it's a smart one. Printing the switch-up flattens CPU usage, makes editing faster, and helps you move on with confidence. You can always add a tiny reverse, a micro stutter, or a short impact on top later. But don't keep a heavy live chain running if the phrase is already doing its job. That mindset matters in real sessions. A lot of producers lose time endlessly refining a loop when the arrangement already communicates. Ask yourself one question. Is this actually a rhythm problem, or is it just a tone problem? If the rhythm is wrong, fix the timing first. If the timing works, then print and process the sound. Place the switch-up at the end of an 8, 16, or 32-bar block so it feels earned. That's what keeps it from sounding like a random loop edit. The listener should feel a clear shift in tension and motion, but the next section still needs to land hard. If the transition is too chaotic for too long, the DJ friendliness drops. In club-facing DNB, clarity is power. A useful trick, especially for darker or heavier tracks, is to let the break imply menace rather than chaos. Keep the snare placement strong. Use mid-range grit, not sub-rumble, to drive the emotion. And don't be afraid of small gaps. A tiny bit of silence before a key hit can make the next impact feel much larger. In this style, negative space is part of the groove design. If you want a more experimental variation, try a negative space switch-up where you remove a few crucial hits instead of adding more, or a ghost-led version where the quieter hits become the hook, or halftime illusion where the same break suddenly implies a slower pulse for a bar or two. Those are all strong moves, as long as the snare anchor stays clear. So here's the big recap. Start with a short think break source. Keep the warp simple and the clip tight. Build a small, intentional vocabulary of slices. Shape it with minimal processing, not layers of unnecessary devices. Use automation to create a sense of approach. Keep the low end controlled and the stereo image stable. Then commit the result and place it at a phrase boundary where the arrangement actually wants a change. That's how you get a switch up that sounds deliberate, tense, and musical instead of just chopped up, tight, rhythmic, gritty, and still danceable. That's the sweet spot. Now take the challenge. Build a 2-bar think break switch up using one break source and no more than 3 stock devices. Make one printed version, drop it at the end of an 8 or 16-bar section, and try one alternate ending for the last half bar. Keep the low end out, keep the snare readable, and trust the groove. You've got this.